can help you reach the world for God's kingdom.
I think it's up to 64,000 now. Great. We're thankful for Good News Productions and other people who put that together. Thanks for coming to this workshop. This is a workshop on the RISE Project and recipients tell their stories. Some of you may not know all of the background to the RISE Project, so I want to just give you a very brief thumbnail sketch of it. Actually, I'm going to do a different one, if you don't mind. Here we go. I'm going to take just a few minutes, and then we're going to have others tell their story. And while a few wander in, that will be great. A lot of our churches and campus ministries and others, our missions teams are driven by this great commission of Jesus that says, go and make disciples of all nations. And we're seeing that a lot more possible in our lifetime now. The international student numbers now are growing more than we ever expected. These are the numbers that were just released. Okay, I'm already breaking the rules. We need to talk into the microphone for the tape that they're making for this workshop. Already we're seeing the numbers just grow at exponential rates. 350,000 from China. These numbers were just released on Monday, and this is Saturday, so we're learning how fast the growth is of all these different nations, and some of them are probably in places very close to you, like Maryville, Missouri. Where are you folks from?
Marshalltown, Iowa.
We have at least 18 nations this year. Now, I need to talk to your minister, Kerry Yeck. He and I went to high school together. We knew each other before we were Christians and as we became Christians, and I did Kerry and Jane's wedding. I was his roommate. He says, would you do our wedding? And I said, But Kerry and I go way back, and I'd love to help you with this. But honestly, even the small community colleges, so much is happening. Now, these are the nations, but when you look at those that have restricted access, these nations that are restricted, according to the World Watch List, these are the nations that it's difficult to get missionaries into unless it's a maybe a career or something. You know, it's just tough to get them in there. So isn't it interesting, of the top 10, 5 have really tough areas for missionaries. And actually, if things are happening in Marshalltown and Maryville and other places, about 65% of the international students in our country come from inside the 1040 window. And those are real difficult areas for us to get missionaries into. So it's like the Wall Street Journal says, or this is a Chronicle of Higher Education. Also, the Wall Street Journal is telling how many of the students are friendless. So we thought the RISE Project might help. And RISE is an acronym for Refugee and International Student Engagement. Refugee and International Student Engagement. So a wonderful Christian leader last year at the ICOM named Mike Schrage said, we need to get some funding available and some training available. We just need to do all these different things to make the RISE Project happen. And I said, that is a really tall order to fill. And Mike said, no problem. We'll get all this. So we did training videos that are all free and downloadable at a website called theriseproject.com. And these are international students talking, telling their stories. And, you know, one of them... what Japanese student says, if you just talk to me. She says, people don't even talk to me. If you just would talk to me, it'd be wonderful. So we did these training videos, and then some generous donors gave us $130,000. And I don't even know who they are, but they said, start a movement. So we said people could fill out an application for the RISE grants, and there's like $1,500 or $2,000 or upward of $6,000 for a staff member. So by the time this is over, I want your creative juices to be flowing to say, you know, we could see if we could get a part-time, maybe a student leader or a part-time person at the church at Marshalltown to reach out to these international students, or at Maryville, or at other places that are around the country. So
to give you a little thumbnail sketch,
we have about 130 campus ministries, and this many have vocational staff. These are salaried staff members that work with internationals. And there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. About 4 of those, or 5, are full-time. The other 5 or 6 work about 10 hours to 20 a week. So 1.1 million international students, and with another 124,000 visiting scholars. And the key areas are in California, Texas, and New York, and you see we don't have a whole lot going on. Now, if there are some other ministries that have special things like conversation programs, Pittsburgh, Kansas, Don Smith worked so hard there with just reaching out to international students, but he recently retired. Lanny Maddox, remember Lanny? He also retired. So there's a few more, but when the RISE project was launched, it turned into this. All these green dots are where RISE Project grants were approved. Up to, I think it's $64,000 now that's just been spent out. So the guy from Mississippi, where he said the young guy from Nepal was reading the Bible, he's from Mississippi down here. And they're doing, here's the bike loan program that we're going to hear about from Avery. Here's Gabe. He's in a green star right there. So, and there's other things in Delaware. So you can see how the RISE Project has really been an answer to our prayers to launch new things. So that's how the RISE Project all started. We have a website, theriseproject.com. There's some refugee training going on along the same lines. And actually, Tracy Herod is doing a workshop this hour in another room about reaching out to refugees. So it was just a real timely thing. But I thought, I'm not going to talk about all this stuff. I think we need to hear from the people who are really making it happen. And so we have folks here from Western Illinois University and also from the University of Missouri in Columbia. So I think if you guys would start, if Gabe, you and Dave, David would start, and then we'll go for about 15 minutes or so, and then let's have Avery and his group talk. And so anytime you have questions, say, how did you do this? Or how would this work at Marshalltown? Or at our little town in Oregon, Missouri, or something, we will field questions as well. So I'm going to scoot out of your way.
I'm not as handsome as Avery. I would star in a B-grade movie, maybe. No, I'm teasing, but anyway. My name's David Sowers. I work at the University of Missouri at the Christian Campus House there. And I just want to say that we are really appreciative of the RISE Project for providing funds to bring Gabe on for a year, because we could not have otherwise done that. We did not have money in our budget to bring a person on for a full-time internship like that. And he's been a great asset to our work there. And it's been a pleasure for me to work with him and appreciate his Christian character, his desire to serve. And he served in a lot of ways. I'm going to let him explain some more specifics about how that has worked out so far here in a few minutes. But at any rate, I just want to say that Gabe may or may not share the fact that this is the only person I've ever heard getting married at 2 o'clock in the morning in Florida this year when Hurricane, was it Maria? Was Irma was bearing down on the state, and they were going to get married on a Saturday on the beach. Well, that had to be pushed back, and then they had to push that back even more to where they thought, well, let's just go for it. So 2 in the morning, they had reception like at 4, and so if you can imagine that sort of beginning, a stormy start to, no, but anyway, but we're glad to have Ina alongside Gabe as well, because she's been able to participate in a number of different things that we've done. One thing I want to just mention, though, is that I just want to talk about the fact of the wonderful things that can happen in international ministry. Just recently, we've seen a lot of things going on. You know, we have a couple, Chinese couple named Marcella and Ethan, and these are all, of course, American names for these individuals, but They were not Christians, and they got involved in our Conversation Partner program. And we use, one of the curriculums we use is FriendSpeak. And FriendSpeak has Luke and Acts and other different books of the Bible that teaches English through using biblical texts. And so it was in the study of Luke that they began to be convicted of their need for Christ, and they became Christians. And so she's pregnant now, and they've decided that if it's a boy, they're going to name him Luke, because that's when they became Christians, was through that study. Here, just about 2 weeks ago, a Chinese guy named Linus. Some of the names that our friends take on are unusual, but took on the name Linus as his name. He became a Christian also. He's baptized into Christ. Has already gone back to Shanghai, where another Chinese student named Gavin is helping him get involved with a house church. And so that's one of our weak links we found in our international ministry, is once they become Christians here, getting them plugged in somehow back in their home countries. That remains a huge challenge for us, and I would assume for your ministries as well. And that's something we need to pray about, and I would like to see some innovative thought and efforts given in that area, which would help all of us out if we could. Still another Chinese woman currently suffering with serious breast cancer informed her husband just last week, "Don't be surprised if I announce to you I'm going to be baptized soon." And so she has been studying for quite some time as well and has become convinced of her need for Christ. Another girl, in fact, a Chinese student, Kathy, was studying for a year with one of our students and with one of our staff, and just last Tuesday, or this past Tuesday, was baptized into Christ. So we have a wonderful staff of part-time people, volunteers. Ben and Sarah Wellsand, they were formerly missionaries to China for 8 years. Have served, worked with us for a couple of years now, and every week they have had like up to 20 to 25 Chinese people at their home serving them food on Saturday evenings. And Ben meets, and Sarah meets regularly with several individuals, and I just can't praise the individuals enough that are working in this ministry. My daughter Maria has been very involved in this as well. She lives with an Iranian roommate, actually, in an apartment there in Colombia. So I just, you know, wanted to share these things. Earlier this year, too, I was blown away when I opened my email in July, and a good friend who'd gone back to Libya, he heads up the English Language Department at University of Benghazi, invited myself and Lance Tamarius, our director, over to present a presentation for this new it's English pedagogy and learning that was going on that he was sponsoring, or that the University of Benghazi was sponsoring. We were unable to participate in it directly, but we were able to send a video and talk about our work of this, and also talk about Christ in this as well. So what an opportunity that we've had, and I know many of you have had these kinds of things. So at this point, Gabe, would you come up and share about your work?
Turn this on. I have some pictures to share with you guys.
Of the 2 a.m. wedding, maybe? Are you crazy?
Yeah, it was unexpected, but we made it work. And that's what matters, I think. Okay. So, yeah, my name's Gabe, and I just want to give you guys a little background about me before I talk about the work, because I think maybe some of you might be in the situation I was in. And so hopefully, Greg said, you know, this might be for you. And so with me, I wanted to do mission work. I wanted to be a missionary. And then I went to ICOM 2 years ago, or last year, a couple years ago, hearing this refugees in the country, and I did an internship with Pioneer Bible Translators, and I got to actually go into a whole apartment complex full of refugees, and I was like, I'm in another country right now. It was so mind-blowing for me. And so I started to dig deeper and say, okay, well, God, do you want me to go overseas, or is this, or are the countries here? And so I see that the countries are actually here. And so then I'm like, all right, God, well, I'm going to be a missionary now. And so I was, you know, I was studying, and but I still, I have some pictures here. I still got involved with some universities. This is at UCF, University of Central Florida, and they have it's a campus ministry. And I just contacted the guy. I said, "Hey, can I come up and see what you're doing? I want to be involved with your ministry." And he said, "Yeah, sure, come on in." And so I'm there. And then this is at FIT, and we had a Bible study. This is a man from Iran, and never read the Bible in his life. We read the Matthew chapter 5 with him. And he said, "This is the best thing I have ever read in my life." And, you know, so we tried to reach out to the students at FIT. And so I'm trying my best. I live an hour away from both campuses. This campus is an hour west. This campus is an hour south. But I'm trying to be as involved as I can. I'm working. I'm studying. And then I realized, if I'm going to do this long term, I'm going to need some training, because the campus ministries that were here were good, but it wasn't for me. And so I ended up talking with David, and he says it's a possibility. And then I come and hear about the Rise Project, and I apply, and they are helping me out. And then I'm also getting some supporters to help me out. And so now I'm over at the University of Missouri, and so a lot of good things are happening. And so how the Rise Project helped me on this journey, I really think that I want to reach the international students long term. This is something I want to commit my life to. I want to do it for as long as God wants me to do it. And I think now that I will have some experience, so now I can, like the picture Greg showed with the map and how we have certain areas that are being impacted, but there's also areas that are not. And I want to be somebody who can go to the place that no one is reaching the international students, and hopefully starting something. Because now that I have training with David and the staff there, I'm being prepared to be sent out to start something or help someone who is trying to start something. And so I think now that the Rise Project has helped me, I have experience, and I'm going to have results to show future supporters and say, "Hey, this is what I've did the past year. Do you want to join me in God's work to do this?" And so I really think that this is a cool thing. And so here's some pictures. Some guy, this guy's from Vietnam, and this guy's from China. And, you know, just they never carved a pumpkin in their life. And so I was like, okay, well, this is something I can do. I can carve a pumpkin. And so I said, "Hey, why don't you just come on over and we carve some pumpkins?" And, you know, we just had a good time. In this picture, I'm with a guy from Taiwan, and he liked to play tennis. And I said, "Well, I don't really play tennis, but I have a tennis racket. Let's play tennis together." And so I'm playing tennis with him, and he introduced me to some of his friends from Taiwan. And so now I'm able to, you know, hang out with him and do something fun and build a relationship with him. And here we had an international fishing trip. And 30 or something students came, and we went fishing with them. We helped them bait the hook and take the fish off the hook. Some of them never fished before, and brought their kids out. It was fun. And some guys from the local church actually helped with this event, and they cooked the fish for all of us, and we just got to eat together. And just the opportunity to show love and have good time with them and good talks. And this guy is from India. He's never read the Bible, never touched the Bible in his life. And David knew him and said, "Hey, do you want to have Bible study?" And David allowed me to lead the study with him. And it was just great to have him get to see God's Word, something that he never got exposed to. And so these people are at our campus, and I want to be used to reach them. And so I'm also able to learn now of there's an international picnic that the Mizzou campus has. And so here I am with Maria, and we were meeting the international students as they walked through and got to tell them about some of the ministries we have at the campus house. We have furniture ministries where we give these students furniture because a lot of them come to our country with nothing. They just have a room and that's it. Like some of the students told me they just sleep on the floor and they don't have anything. And so this is a way for us to give to them. And we also have a bike ministry where to help them to get to place throughout the campus or in town. And this is another similar thing. This is orientation where I was able to meet more students and have them sign up to connect with them. And we had the most recent event was this Thanksgiving, International Thanksgiving Dinner. And I think 152 students came, and it was pretty awesome to see all these countries in one place. And in one sense, it's sad because these people are not Christians, but in another sense, it's cool because most of these students are reading the Bible with somebody, one of the people that work with the Christian campus house. And so we are engaging these countries, and like David said, we have the conversation partners, and that's a great thing to be a part of. And here is an event that I tried to start, and I'm still in the process of getting it going. And it's a game night, a simple game night where you just say, hey, do you want to play some games? I have some American games that you probably never played before. Would you like to play some board games with me? And so that's what we're doing here. Every Tuesday night we get together and we're playing games together and just having a good time getting to know each other and showing Christ's love to them. And and then that's just us setting up for the Thanksgiving dinner. It was a good event. So yeah, that's so far what I've been able to accomplish and be a part of in 3 months working with the campus house. And so I'm going to be there until the end of the semester. And I just think it's a great thing that I have been a part of now.
Thanks, Dave.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tom Cruise, apparently. And even though I may be better looking than David, I'm not half as smart as David is. So if you have questions, go ask him. He's the real genius here. So all of the things that David and Gabe shared with you guys, those are incredible things and incredible opportunities for you guys to reach out to international students who might be lonely, who might never have had an American friend before, who might never have gone inside of an American home. And so listen to these things and get ideas from them and take them back with you and do them and live out life with international students and show them the love of Christ through these things. So I encourage you to do that. And so it's so exciting that the Rise Project has funded an intern for you guys. We're looking for one. By the way, if you guys know of any, we'd love to have them. But the Rise Project also does a lot more than just that. Maybe you have the volunteers. Maybe you have the staff. Maybe you have lots of students. And maybe you have lots of ideas, but you don't have the resources at your disposal to do it. And so I'm going to share with you one of the ways that we have tried to engage with international students so that we can bring them to Bible study, so that we can forge relationships with them, and so that we can get to know them.
Let me find the arrow here. That was the wrong one. There you go. Oregon.
Just use those up-down arrows, that cursor on this side.
Got it.
Okay.
So I wish I could take the credit, by the way, for our bike ministry, but I can't. That was our director, Barry Reed, and he had noticed a need at Western Illinois University. Western had a bike sharing program that went under, and so we saw a void where we could come and fill it, and so that's what we did. But why did we do it in the first place? Well, first of all, to build bridges so that we can get to know them. A lot of these students, they never would have stepped foot at our campus house if it wasn't for the offer of, hey, we've got a really cheap bike. In fact, it's free if you bring it back to us. and they're like, whoa, you would do that? You would give us a bike? And it just blows them away. And so it offers us an opportunity to build relationships with them by meeting a need that they might have. And of course, meeting their need is really our way of building a relationship with them. So this is why we do the bike ministry.
There, haha.
Okay, this is Mehta. He is from India, and this is, we just asked him to write up a testimonial. He was one of the very first students, got this awesome bike, and he takes it everywhere with him. And he loves it to death. I'll just go ahead and read this. This is my best mate in travel, and I've had many, many memories with this bike. I will never forget the help CSC has given me by giving me this bike. It has helped me to go anywhere, anytime. It was the best I had here at WIU. And so we have lots and lots of these kinds of testimonials. These are some of our other participants. One of them is actually in the program booklet. Over there on the far right, from Sweden, Emma Piscator. Her bike actually got stolen, and we got it back. So, yay! So, Emma and lots and lots of others. George is from Ghana, and Fahad is from India, and there are just so many different people. This guy is also with us this weekend, Ebuka, Chukwubuka Ogwo, also from Nigeria. The students here from Korea here, we're only here for a few weeks, but we loaned the bikes out to them anyway, and they brought them back, and it went flawlessly and smoothly, and
we got a chance to get to know them.
But one of the things you might be asking is, what does it really look like to have a bike ministry? And so sometimes we purchase bikes, if we can find them cheap enough, if we can find them at auction. I don't know if you know this, but a lot of universities require a permit for a bike to be parked on their campus. And when they don't have that permit, the university picks them up and holds them. And at the end of the year, they have this big auction, and there's tons of bikes for relatively cheap. You can pick up whole sections of them. Some of them will need work, and others won't. All of the bikes in this photo, though, they were donated by one guy. he'd been working on bikes in his shop in his free time, and he was kind of looking at getting out of it. And he heard what we were doing, and he said, hey, here you go. Go bless students. And so he donated this, and then a few months later, he brought in another bunch of bikes just like it. And so it's incredible. My wife actually at one point said, we don't buy bikes, we buy parts. and that's thanks to Leon Monocle from Gilson, from a local church that supports us. And so we fix the bikes, and this... Actually, one of the things I really appreciate about the RISE Project's grant application is that it forces you to plan, because they ask you, hey, what is your plan for this? Do you have volunteers? How are you going to prepare things? How are you going to operate this? And so on and so forth. How is it going to be sustainable? And so we had an alumni who was back in town working on his master's degree, who is a bike maniac. And he came and he taught me how to repair the bikes. I knew nothing about them, really. And yet through him, through his mentoring and help, I'm able to fix them, and I'm able to give them a safe bike that they can then use. And we give them out. For us, we have a $25 deposit. And if they bring it back when they're done with it, they get their deposit back. And it ends up being free for them. And that's the basics of how it works. We do. So the university requires that you have a permit on all of your bikes. Fortunately for us, Western the permits are free. We don't have to pay for any of them. So you have to have the serial number, the bike size, the bike color, things like that, what size are the tires. You fill out all those forms. They've gotten to know me very well. They're like, oh, you've got more bikes. Okay. Yes. And sometimes if they don't have a serial number, you can get metal stamps, and you can just punch in your own serial code if you need to. So where does the RISE project come into play? These guys were a huge shot in the arm, just huge for us. Bike parts are expensive. They're not as much as buying a whole brand new bike, but if you don't have the money to buy the parts, you can't get them fixed. You can't get them out there to the students. And so that was huge. The other thing was it was really motivational for donors and for volunteers to say, hey, look, the RISE Project believes in these guys. They're giving them $2,000 to do this bike ministry. Let's help them out. And it's a really great way to say, hey, we're responsible. We're doing this well. We have a whole plan. We've even gotten this grant. Come and help us out and partner with us. The other thing is, I don't know how many of you guys know this, but ministry is exhausting. Probably a lot of you know that. We're doing all sorts of things all the time, and it is wonderful, and it is such a blessing. But I often just don't have time to fix bikes in the middle of the school year. And so one of the ways that we've used the RISE Project grant is that when a student comes to me and says, hey, I've got a problem with my bike, I can say, okay, give me a couple days, I'll bring it to the bike shop, and I'm covered. And that's been a huge blessing because I just don't have the time during the school year to do that. Now, I said that the RISE Project preaches sustainability and makes sure that you have a plan. And so one of the things that we've done to try and make sure that we can get the community excited about it and also to be able to move on from the necessary support that we got from the RISE Project is we started something called the International Friendship Ride. And this is where we invite local church folks, and we invite the community, and we invite students to come. You pay to go on a bike ride. And so this is what we did. We raised over $700 with this bike ride. Without them encouraging us to be sustainable, not sure I would have had the motivation and the willpower to do it. And so I just have a few more pictures. You mean the International Friendship Ride? Well, the sky is the limit, technically. Our insurance would charge us... so long as they have a bike, they can come. So long as they pay a registration fee, they can come. It depends on the number of volunteers you have who are able to work it, the people you have that are knowledgeable to go out and have equipment to repair bikes that break down on the road, things like that. We did a 10-mile ride and a 30-mile ride at the same time. We had sponsors. We had T-shirts. It was a lot of work, but it really paid off. A few more photos. There's Cheyenne, everybody. She'll share with you guys here in just a minute. She was on the video earlier. Those are the shirts we got printed off for it. We basically stole the logo from somewhere. Had families, entire families. You can see the top picture on the far right. People brought their kids on the 10-mile ride, stuck them in the little, I don't know what you call it, wagon, I guess, on the back. So that's what we've done. And from this, I've gotten to know students and invite them to Bible studies. I don't want to make it sound like the international or the bike ministry has been the only way that we connect with students, because it's not. But it is one of the ways that we do. Sometimes it is the only place that we get to meet students, and sometimes it is one of many ways that students get to know us and come to trust us and come to appreciate us. And having all of these different things and making, if you will, attachments with them and building relationships with them, they come back, and they really appreciate having this. So I'm going to let Cheyenne come up and share just a few stories.
Testing, testing, 1, 2. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Cheyenne Edwards. I am an international student from Jamaica. I am currently a grad student at Western Illinois University. Now, before I begin, I have a confession to make. So last year was my first time ever visiting an ICOM. I didn't know what ICOM was, but being affiliated with Campus Students for Christ, you know, they're like, there's going to be this conference in Kentucky. I heard Kentucky, and I'm going. Because I had an ulterior motive. I've always wanted to eat KFC in Kentucky. You know, it's like picking an apple from the tree or drinking water from the spring, you know, straight from the source. And I did get that opportunity, and it was really good. But towards the ending of last year's ICOM, and they announced where this present ICOM would be, I'm like, no, I'm not going. It's Illinois. It's in my backyard. I want a road trip. So from last year, I deliberately and intentionally made up my mind that I would not be attending this year's ICOM. But then the bike ministry happened at CSU, which I became a part of, and we made a video. And Avery basically bribed me into coming here. He's like, you have to be at ICOM so you can see your video. And that was my main motivation for coming here. But truth be told, when I got here, I completely forgot about the video. You know, I was just really excited about being here, you know, going to all these different workshops and learning about all these different missions. So this morning after praise and worship, when I saw the video, I was like, oh my gosh, yes, this is why I'm here. So, you know, I had to take out my phone to start recording myself. So now that I've seen myself, I can go back home because I'm done. But the bike ministry at Campus Students for Christ, which has been funded by the RISE Project, it has been a tremendous blessing on my life personally. Now, as an international student, I don't know if you're aware of this, but oftentimes when we first come here, we are extremely limited where mobility is concerned. And, you know, having something as simple as a bicycle really bridges that gap, both literally and metaphorically. Now, one of the things for me, one of my main problems, I don't drive in America, because here you guys drive on which side of the road? Right. Okay. In Jamaica, we drive on the left. So I have mental issues where that is concerned, because I found myself driving here on the left, and my friend is like, no, go over on the other side. You know, you're not in Jamaica anymore. So I prefer to be driven than actually being the driver myself. But I'm sure you guys are familiar with the layout of a campus, and a car can get you so far, and then you have to take it by foot. And sometimes you feel as if you're walking across the Sahara Desert to get from one class to the next because of how campuses are laid out. But a bike really helps to minimize the amount of time that it takes for you to get from point A to point B. And that was something that I really needed, because being a Jamaican, I have issues with punctuality. So I'm almost always late, you know, I'm always rushing, you know, so having a bike really helps to cut down on the stress and, you know, having to run and get to where I need to get to on time. Now, the bike ministry at Campus Students for Christ, it has been a very effective tool at evangelizing international students. One of the things that we face as international students, and I'm sure I've heard it being thrown around multiple times since I've been at ICOM this year, is the loneliness and the isolation that we feel. As international students, believe it or not, we are extremely lonely. You know, we're far away from home. Oftentimes, we're the only persons from our country on that particular campus. There's nobody to relate to. And, you know, having a ministry that is so vested in your well-being is really a blessing, and for that I am truly grateful. The program that has been offered by Campus Students for Christ, which was funded by the RISE Project, you know, it is a testament to that. And in a way, it is a reflection of how Christ went about when he was on earth. Because before preaching, what did he do? He invested in the needs of people. He healed them. He fed them. He took care, you know, of their basic and their fundamental needs before bringing the gospel to them. And they were so moved by his compassion that they saw that it drew them closer to him. And I think that has been very instrumental in witnessing to international students on WIU campus. Am I leaving anything out? So our BIPE ministry has really taken on a life of its own. We've had the International Friendship Ride over the summer. It was awesome. At first, I told myself that I would do 30 miles. But, you know, after riding for a mile, I realized just how ambitious I was, and my ambition far exceeded my capabilities. So I had to stick with the 10-mile ride. And I'm sure you guys are familiar with the Midwest. You know, there's nothing but cornfields all around us. And over time, riding around the countryside really gives you a deeper appreciation for nature. You know, you're seeing Christ through things as simple as a bird flying as you're riding your bike. You know, simple things like this that just have a far-reaching impact on your life. Now, the ministry, the BIPE ministry at CSE, it transcends that. You know, we still have regular bike rides. Some weekends, we'll just get up in the mornings and go for a ride. But we really can't do that now because it's cold and the wind hurts your face when you're riding. And it hurts. All right. But we still have, you know, other events that we try to garner other international students to want to come and be a part of it. And one of the things that really struck me, that really resonated with me, was the fact that they trust you so much to just give you this bike. Where I'm from, we do not do that. You don't just give away a bike like that, you know. And the fact that they would give you this bike without condition, it really speaks to the character of the ministry and just how vested they are in our well-being and our stay here as international students. And with that, I want to close by thanking the RISE is it Foundation? The RISE. I have it written down. Don't tell me. The RISE Project for the work that they have done. Last year at ICOM, I saw, you know, the ads every now and then during the main session. But I really wasn't paying attention. But now that I am a tangible and a first-hand recipient of the work that they have done, I am truly grateful. I know that God will continue to bless them, and I encourage you to continue to pray for them as they continue to invest in the lives of those who are lonely, who are isolated, and those who are just in need of a friend. Thank you guys so much, and God bless you.
We have one more to share, and I'm going to ask Anne if you can keep it to about 5 minutes, because we want to talk about how other people can apply for things and stuff. But it's really cool that we've got, you know, people from Illinois, from Missouri, and now Delaware. Way out in Delaware. So the campus ministry called Blue Hens for Christ. How did they get that name? Anyway, Ann McDonald's going to come and share briefly about their story at the University of Delaware.
Okay, so I'm Ann McDonald. I'm international coordinator. I got this title thanks to the RISE Project, because before that I was just a volunteer. And so I've had the opportunity to do one-on-one Bible studies with students. We had a lady in our church that lived near campus, and she's retired. She's like in her 80s, and she had like 20 different Chinese students coming to her house to do one-on-one studies. And she had amazing results. She, you know, had baptisms, and I was like, I want to do that. So I've been using the campus house as a house to invite the students back to. And I've also plugged into a lot of activities on campus. So if you're trying to start something, I would advise you to go to the Christian groups on campus. First, make sure that you agree with their statement of faith, and see if you can plug in. So we've had another group on campus that invited us to help them. They have an international dinner every Thursday night. It's specifically for English language learners. So they have fundraised, and every Thursday night we have an amazing meal from a restaurant. Delaware is really diverse, and so we have like all nations represented. We have Middle Eastern food sometimes. Sometimes we have Indian food, and we have a pre-printed Bible study. And so we have table discussions. So I'm one of the table hosts, and I never know who's going to be at the table or if I can convince them to stay for the Bible study, because the Bible study is optional. So we had this one guy from Pakistan, and he told me at dinner, I never stay for the Bible study. And he stayed until we got to the point where we were reading scripture. But he took the paper with him that had the entire thing written out. And I can't remember if he is the same guy from Pakistan, but we do have one guy that comes over to our campus house every Friday, and he discusses with Anthony, who is also another missionary on campus, and the two of them are always arguing back and forth about creation, about, you know, the theology of God, and all kinds of stuff. So this boy is only 24 years old, and he knows all there is to know according to, you know, what he was taught in Pakistan. So just pray for him. His name is On. And so on Monday nights, same group, we meet on campus in the International Residence Hall, and we have English conversation. So this is pretty laid back. Sometimes we have like a printed lesson, but we don't have to stick to it. And so we meet people and we're like, hey, we're having a dinner. You know, we have a Tuesday night dinner at our campus house. And then Thursday nights, we have a dinner at the International Residence Hall. And so there's all kinds of ways to plug in. And then we meet people and get them to do one-on-one studies for English help. And you would be amazed at the number of people that, even the Muslims, they're willing to learn English using the Bible. So we start out with an English conversation. And then I say, I'm going to do some reading comprehension. Would you mind, you know, if we read out of the Bible, because that's what we use? And most of them will say yes. Now, sometimes, especially if it's with a Muslim, I'll start out with, we have a booklet, the Friendspeak booklet in the book of Luke. And so that's a little less intimidating because it's not the actual Bible, but it has Bible passages. It just looks like an ordinary book. So it's something that you can take to a coffee shop. You know, a lot of these people also, you have to be sensitive and not tell their friends what they're doing. Some of them have requested that we not tell anyone that they're meeting with us. And some of them have not yet become Christians because they're worried about what will happen to them in their home country, especially the Chinese, which is the majority of our participants. So we appreciate your prayers. And if you have any questions, let me know. I'd be happy to help you. Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions for Ann or Gabe or David or Avery or Cheyenne? Any questions at all? Because we have a few other things we want to talk about. Huh?
I have a question. How do you market the English language?
So we have another person on campus, and he has like the emails of like 700 people, and we get him to send out a mass email. We haven't yet got permission from like the Office of International Scholars to, you know, give this information out to students. So you really have to connect on campus with the leaders and, you know, kind of find out if they're Christian or not, if they're sympathetic to your cause.
This is hard. We're trying to jump the gap here between campus ministries and churches, and I want to help you do that because. Like you and me, I mean, we just go to a church. How do we just hang out on campus or but there are sometimes I just go to a website and I type in like I just was at the University of Illinois website, which is about an hour and 15 minutes from here, and I just typed in international, and it came up with 35 weeks of events every week. Like it's Korea night, next week is China night, and they have 12,000 international students there, and I just talk to folks at the church and say, hey, would you like to go with me and go to China night? And then we meet people and say, would you like to come to our home? Or some of the websites at the universities have friendship family applications where you adopt. And this is something I really want you to hear, and that is the campus ministries have an inside track because they're right there on the campus. But they can offer peer friendships and go for these different coffee things with kids, but they can't offer a family. And that's what the church can offer is families. And in Psalm 25, it's the Bible says, God sets the lonely in families. So you can adopt a student. I wish Don Stoll would have been here. David and I have a friend named Don Stoll who, how old would you say Don is?
He's
86. Do you know him?
Yeah, I do.
He told me he's meeting with 16 students every week. And it just kind of, it just snowballed once. But they just respect him. And so we can just adopt a family. And that's another way we can do that. So I have a question for Cheyenne. Cheyenne, if you could get a message to American families and churches about international students, what would you tell them or what would you ask them? If you could speak at this main session tonight, and we could maybe make that happen. Anyway, if you could speak at this main session tonight and you could give a message to Christians today about international students and how we can help you or what you need, what would you say?
Where a young man spoke about how grateful he felt, you know, just having somebody invite you to dinner. What we crave most of all as foreigners is the sense of belonging, you know, mm-hmm. and having a Christian family invest in us, you know, something as simple as inviting us home for dinner, it really leaves a lasting impression on us. And out of all the things that we study, all the courses that we take, all our professors, those are the moments that we remember the most. Those are the moments mm-hmm. that we take home with us, and it does leave a lasting impression. So if you feel impressed to adopt an international student, you know, at Western we call it our International Neighbors Program, if you feel so impressed, you will not regret it. I can almost guarantee that you will take so much more out of it than what you put in.
Wow. Thank you so much. So this is not rocket science, is it? Have them over for supper. I know it. We have kids coming over for Thanksgiving from Oman, and I told Cheyenne, I said, I first thought Oman was in Jamaica, you know, because she would say, oh, Oman. I said, where are you from? She'd say, oh, Oman, I'm from Jamaica. I thought that was a city. And it's not. Like, Oman is in close to Saudi Arabia. And they wear those things. And they don't eat. We can't put bacon on. You know how you like that bacon on the lettuce? No bacon on the lettuce. So my wife is figuring out how to make a little bit different. But they just want, they said, can we come to your house for Thanksgiving? So we'll have, I'm really looking forward to next week. And what we'll talk about at our family is not just Thanksgiving. I'll say, what's after Thanksgiving? And of course, they'll say, Brack Friday. And I say, and they laugh at me say that. But I'm going to take a carload of kids at 5 o'clock in the morning to Walmart so they can buy batteries for 10 cents cheaper. But they see the pictures. Oh, we saw the pictures. We're afraid. I said, oh, it's not like that at all. But we'll take a van to the university and just say, let's go out to shop for a few hours. And so those kinds of things, they want to experience your family. They want to, and I tell a lot of people, I don't change anything. I just, when I go shopping, we go to Walmart to buy paper towels. We drive by the university. But I'm always sensitive to spiritual conversations. So it's not just, hey, you need a blanket for your bed, let me bring one over. But we talk about spiritual things and we look for openings to talk about things. There's movies or there are classes. And one student lost a family member and couldn't go home to the funeral. And we start talking about the resurrection. And what does that mean to you? And it's so odd that just happens that way. But I want to tell you about the RISE Project in the last few minutes, and we're going to give away some fun things. Bicycle loan programs is just a start. What about giving a welcome bag to every student? Let's say you wanted to give a welcome bag to every student, and you want to do it really nice, and you want to give out 500 to the students at Maryville or somewhere, and it's going to cost $1 or $2 a bag to put a bottle of water and some Kleenex and some ramen noodles and a map to the church and a name of a family that would love to meet them. The RISE Project would say, we can help with that. One group said they want to do a trip to the zoo, but they want to make it an overnight trip and stay at a church camp, because you'd be surprised how many international students have not seen stars, because they live in large cities and they don't see the stars. And one 21-year-old from South Korea told me just earlier, we took him to a farm. And he said, this is the first time I've seen a horizon. He'd never seen a horizon in his life. So some of you think, well, we're just in a little church here in Oregon, Missouri, or we're in a little church in Illinois. If there's somebody with a farm close by and you could say, could we bring a van load out just to see the farm? You would be amazed at what would happen. So what's happened in this season of ministry is that the playing field is level. Churches that are small, that can just have an open heart, immediately have an opportunity to reach nations. I was at a little church that people wouldn't blink their eye. I mean, you'd miss it. And a sweet lady in the back said, I like to make quilts. And I said, it's tough. You can't pack blankets, can you, Cheyenne? You can't pack blankets in a suitcase. So when she gets here and it's cold and she has no blankets for her bed, well, this sweet lady brought 12 quilts to my house. And I just put a sign up at the union, or a sign up in the international office that said, free blankets for anyone. The first taker was from Nigeria. You know, it was cold. But she's given blankets away. A sweet little 80-year-old lady has given away blankets now that have gone all over the world. So there's just so many opportunities. International student retreats, zoo trips, travel trips. If you want to have a special Thanksgiving meal, your church budget is really tight. The RISE Project, all we want to say is, what do you want to do and how can we help you? I want to tell you about this. The answer is yes. If you say, we need $1,000, the answer is yes. If you can just tell us why and what you hope to accomplish and can you continue this, the answer is yes. It's not this group of people saying, well, let's just see if we can find some reason to. No, we really want to give away another $70,000. They wanted to give away by the end of this year. And I just don't think that's, we haven't had applications. So you need to think about that. And you put on your creative thinking cap, and whether it's Marshalltown or Maryville or wherever, we could try this and we could do that. And you'd be surprised. You might start doing it. You might have a family in the church say, well, you don't need to ask them for that. We'll help with the funding or the meal or the welcome bags or all sorts of things. So you can go to the riseproject.com on all of the seats. We put study guides out. If you want to do a home Bible study to learn about how to work with refugees or with international students, it's international students talking mostly. And so you can download that. It's streamable. There's an application form online. You just print it out and all of a sudden you fill it out, and it doesn't take long. All those things are very possible. So I want to give away a few things and then we need to dismiss.